chapter 3. You'll go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, please. It does seem like it's been a quick week. Seemed like Sunday morning was a few hours ago. And I have enjoyed this time in the Word of God with you. I'm just of the opinion if the Scriptures don't revive us, we're not going to be revived. I love singing, but singing won't do it. I like fellowship, but they do that out at the social club. Won't revive us. But the Word of God will when the Holy Spirit breathes upon it. Paul does something, and you sit down just a minute because we'll stand, but I got to say something, got to introduce him. Always in his epistles, he teaches first, and then he applies what he has taught. Oh, how important that is.
Yes.
James took up that idea. He said, don't be just hearers of the word.
Right.
Be doers as well.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And so we have listened to Paul teach us all week. And now tonight, last chapter, he applies what he has taught.
Amen.
Dr. Wiersbe says it this way, and it can't be stated any, I think, more lucidly. He said, Paul, first of all, gives you doctrine. And that's what he's been doing. Could I get an amen? That was doctrinal.
Amen.
Gives doctrine. And then he gives duty. Listen, it's alliterated. It's easier to remember. Doctrine first, and then duty.
Yes, sir.
Another Bible teacher, I don't remember who this one was, he said that Paul will always give you belief, what to believe first. That's the foundation. And then after you learn what to believe, see if you get it, how to behave.
Amen.
Because our behavior is an outflow, really, of our belief. As a man thinketh in his heart, that's how he's going to act. That's how he's going to talk. And so tonight we are in the final chapter, and it will deal with duty. It will deal with behavior. It was a third, just reading, studying, you come across these things. Fellow said, he said, Paul gives precept, and then he gives practice.
Yes, sir.
Any way you want to say it, verbalize it. Tonight, we get down to the everyday life of interacting as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
I want to make an announcement. Never been a church yet, good churches included, but that they've got a weakness of some kind.
That's right.
That's called weary.
That's right.
Human
beings. That's true. That's
right. Sinners saved by grace.
Yes, sir.
And the Thessalonian church was no exception. Great group of believers. Monday night we saw Paul. He's so thrilled. Their love, their faith. Y'all remember it? Their endurance, their patience. But there is a chink in their armor. There is a problem that needs to be addressed. Now, most of the time anymore in our churches, we just let the problems fester.
Right, that's right.
We ignore them.
Yes.
Don't want to bring it to a head. Don't want to disturb the waters.
Yes.
I promise you this. A problem that is not addressed generally worsens in the passing of time. And Paul chooses to deal with the issues at hand. Verse number six. And I'm going to, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I'm going to read through verse 15. So, the paragraph is a little longer than some have been. Now, we command you, brethren, we, all the way through this epistle, Paul is stuck with himself and Silas and Timothy. We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which you received of us. Don't be scared of the word tradition.
Right.
He's using it in a good way here.
Right. Amen.
For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. Nothing wrong with having a fellowship meal. Somebody's home, they bought it and cooked it and want you to eat. Well, but this is an ongoing thing. We did not eat any man's bread for naught. The idea, we were not preloaders. We didn't mooch off anyone.
Right.
I'll get into that.
Amen.
We didn't eat any man's bread for naught, but we wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable. That we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we don't have the power, but to make ourselves an example for you or unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, that little bit of time, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. We'll talk about that in context. For we hear that there are some in the church that which walk among you disorderly. Interesting word he's chosen. Working not at all. They're allergic to the job. Working not at all. But instead they are, you tell me, they're what?
Busy bodies.
Now verse 12. Them that are such, we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that they with quietness, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, have no company with him, that he may be ashamed, yet still count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. You may be seated. That is an unusual text, isn't it? Obviously, Paul is addressing a particular situation. A set of circumstances that are prominent in Thessalonica, in that church. When he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, quit suing each other in front of lost judges. That's what was going on there. When he wrote to the Galatians, he said, somebody's fooled y'all. Somebody's bewitched y'all. You've gone back to the law. You better stick with the grace of God.
Amen.
That was peculiar to their set of circumstances. When he wrote the little book to Titus, he said, there's a church down yonder in Crete, and they are way out of line. Said, there's some, no offense, I hope, there's some women down there that are running their mouths nonstop. Could have been to me. As well, but in Crete. And he told Titus, he said, get down there, I don't know if you're going to smile or not, and shut them up.
That's right.
Who, King James, whose mouths must be stopped.
Right, yes.
Of the cause of Christ. I'm just saying, he addresses the needs in each of his churches. Now, I'm not the pastor, I'm an evangelist. My job is to preach or try to preach an expository sermon tonight, and I don't know this church's needs. But I'll say this, I'm pretty sure the Holy Ghost does.
Yes, sir. Yeah. That's right. That's exactly right. Yes, sir.
And we'll just get into the scripture and see what he does.
Amen.
I know this. I stand here tonight. I'm saved. I'm born again. The Spirit of God's there. But I got some needs myself.
Amen.
I hope we'll all approach with that attitude.
Yes, sir.
Verse 6. We command you, brethren. I won't stop there for a second. It is so interesting. Preacher, in Paul's different church situations, he assumes a pattern of leadership that best fits their needs. I go back to the Galatians. Somebody in Galatia was saying, Paul's wrong. Jesus is not the only way to heaven. You better get back to obeying at least some of the law. Listen to Paul there. If anybody keeps preaching that doctrine, another gospel, let him, did I get an amen? Let him be accursed.
Amen.
If you'll allow me, let him be doomed.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Let him die lost. Right. And it could be worded in other ways, but that's far enough. He is faith in his authority. But hear the word command. He loves these Thessalonians and they love him to death. It uses a word that simply means, it gives us the word angel, angelos, by command. It merely means to make an announcement. Think again. If somebody really loves you and you trust that person, they don't have to go around bossing you and commanding you. All they got to do is tell you.
Amen.
And you die trying to please them.
Yes, sir.
You love them. That much. I think we preachers sometimes go on ego trips.
Yes, sir.
Don't y'all know I'm the boss, I'm the pastor, I'm the man of God around here. Y'all are just a bunch of little pawns. I love that Peter addressed that.
Yes, he did. Amen.
He told us preachers, don't you be lords over God's territory.
Right. Right.
It's all right to say amen.
That's exactly.
Paul says, I got an announcement. It's a command. But in other words, he doesn't force it down their throats. He knows they love him enough. If he'll express the right way to do it.
Yeah.
There are a number of them who try to follow his pattern and his steps. We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly. Two times the word brother has come up in this verse. Listen to it. It's adelphos. It's Greek. Adelphos. How many of y'all believe when we get saved, we get put in the family of God?
Yes, sir.
How many of you believe he is our heavenly Father?
Amen.
That automatically means we're kin.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Brothers and sisters. Adelphos. The feminine is Adelphi. Now, what does it mean, Adelphos? It's only the in Adelphos. It joins, it connects, it unifies. And the word Adelphos is simply the word for a mother's womb, for the lady's womb. Let me tell you what the Christian brotherhood, what the Christian sisterhood, it consists of this. A bunch of people, hope you'll smile, who came out of the same womb.
Amen.
Grammatical definition.
Amen.
That's going to make an announcement. I got born again out of the womb of the grace of God.
Amen.
Conceived by the Holy Ghost himself, using the power of the Word, I believed, I trusted, and he birthed me into his family.
Amen.
We're brothers and sisters.
Amen.
But now notice this. All the brethren in that church weren't acting right. He said, if there's a brother who's walking disorderly. Now, I know Paul loves the word saints and even called the Corinthians saints. And that means the word saint virtually means the Holy Ghost is in you. The word saint is hagios. That's the same word that's used there for holy in the Holy Ghost. So I'm speaking to a bunch of saints today. But I'll say this. Saints don't always act like saints.
That's good, brother.
And here, somebody is walking disorderly.
Yes, sir.
Oh, walking. Get this. It's so neat. Listen to the verb. Peripateo. Peri. It's a prefix, a preposition. It means around, all around. Peri, like the perimeter. Many cities have those all the way. Or the perimeter of a circle. All around, different directions. Peripateo. Pateo is simply the Greek word for walking. Putting one foot in front of another.
Yep.
They're walking disorderly. That means in their going and in their coming. That means in their church life, in their business life, wherever their feet take them, they are behaving in a disorderly manner. Listen to me. God saved us, but once He saved us, He'll forget an amen. He expects us to walk straight.
Amen.
Not crooked. Not disorderly.
Amen.
And the adverb there for disorderly means that, get this, it takes a little verb, tasso, T-A-S-S-O, and it's a military word. It means, they blow the trumpet, it means you get in your place, you fall in at attention, and you stand there. You stay there. See if I get it in. You stay where they put you. Tasso. Disorderly negates it. Ah, tasso. You don't mean that there be somebody at church, see, smile, that gets a little out of place, do you?
Yes, sir.
That's the very picture. They walk disorderly. Now, having said that about us preachers getting too big for our britches sometimes, I now want to say this. This church can't have but one pastor. Everybody wanted to be the pastor. It wouldn't work any more than a two- or three-headed animal could be healthy and survive. It just won't work.
Yes.
I think I'll make another announcement. Church can't have but one song leader.
Amen.
At least at a time.
Yeah.
You got a good one. I've enjoyed the singing this way. I think I'll say this. Can't have but one adult Sunday school teacher on a given Sunday at a time. Everybody can't do everybody else's work. We've got to determine where God wants us to serve. We've got to be willing to do whatever is needed. We've got to get in our place, help me, and stay there.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And there's some in the Thessalonian assembly who are not doing so. They are walking disorder. Are y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, there's some, verse 6, that walk disorderly and not after the tradition you received of us. And rightly so anymore. You have to be a little careful with that word tradition. But I will say this. I am not interested in tradition as much as I'm interested in the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
That a lot of churches need to get rid of some of them stinking grandpa did and granny did traditions and do what the Holy Ghost leads them to do. Now, having said that, I want to come back to the word tradition. It is the verb to give, didomai, to give, and it is the prefix P-A-R-A. It means this. Something that has been given to me. Something that has been handed down to me. Paul was there. Paul preached the Word of God. Even talked about prophecy. That's what Paul handed down to them.
Right.
And he said, don't come up with a bunch of new stuff. Don't try to do a whole lot of changing. Hang on. I'll need an amen. Hang on to what I gave you.
Amen.
This will make somebody mad, and I don't mean to be ugly, and I appreciate scholarship any way it comes, but I think I'm pretty satisfied with my Bible, bless your heart.
Amen.
I'm not looking for another one. Think I'll go on record and say this. I told you last night what I believed about prophecy. Jesus is coming again to get us. Then he's coming back today. Hey, that's what was handed me and was given to me through the Word of God. Grandpa and Granny believed it too, but I adopted it because it's in the Word of God, and I don't need another set of beliefs on Bible prophecy. I'm taking what I was given.
That's
right. So you follow the tradition that I gave. Y'all all right?
Amen.
American Christianity is about to throw that old-fashioned, old-time religion, and by that I mean God anointed. We're about to throw it out the window and adopt a whole lot of new stuff that's not going to lead us the right direction.
Amen.
Oh, I just want to stop and preach there. These boys will say that if God loves you, He'll always bless you. You'll be wealthy. You'll be healthy. And if you're not just eating, you know, swimming in gravy, if everything's not going your way, you're not right with God. That'll draw a crowd. That might build a large number of people, but honey, it won't work when the world's on fire.
Amen.
It won't work when the bottom drops out.
That's right, man.
I'm glad I got a God who'll walk with me through the valleys.
Amen.
And this entertainment mentality that's taking over American Christianity. What singing group can you get in next? And the one with the bigger name and the one that's got the most CD, that's the one we want. Hey, what about whether they've been filled with the Holy Ghost or not? Well, that's verse 6. Verse 7, you yourselves, you know how you ought to follow us. We behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Paul said, when I came, I got in my place and I stayed in my place. I went by the word of God. I set you a good example. And he just flat says, you ought to follow us. And boy, I guess that could be problematic. Paul just said, follow me. But I want you to get something. Paul is saying, help me now, follow me as I follow the Lord.
Amen.
I was astounded, learned it this very week. 8 times in the Pauline corpus, in Paul's extant material, in what Paul wrote, 8 times, he tells his people, follow me, follow me. Follow me. Let me give you the Greek word. Mimetai. M-I-M-E-T-A-I. Mimetai. What does mimetai mean? Listen to it. It's our word mimic. M-I-M-I-C. Mimic me.
Yes.
Y'all to see how quiet y'all are in this thing. Now, Paul didn't say mimic me. Go home, look it up.
Yes, sir.
Follow me.
Yes, sir.
I didn't walk disorderly. I just want to say something. Hope I get a bunch of amens. Thank God for preachers who live right.
Amen.
Thank God for preachers who take it seriously. Thank God for preachers that are sold out to God.
Yes.
I'll say something else. Thank God for preachers that have got a little spunk about them.
Amen.
A little enthusiasm. A 30-second timeout. The word enthusiasm, and this young man's got it.
That's right.
Comes from a Latin background. A little bit of Greek mixed in with it. Enthuse. Enthuse. In, the preposition, it means inside. In the midst. Enthuse. Thuse is theos. It's the word for God. When the ancients saw a man that was animated, the ancients saw a man, I'll do this. The ancients saw a man that was preaching the word of God and he was consumed in the intensity of the moment. They said, God's in him. God's moved in. Enthused. Do y'all see it? Literal definition. And I'm glad, thank God. Hey, my Savior's not dead. I'm glad I don't have to act dead when I talk about it. Now, I'm not saying if a preacher stands still, speaks in it, I'm not saying that's not preaching. It is preaching if the Word of God's coming out of his mouth. But I'm sort of like somebody that spits a little every now and then. You don't have to agree. Follow me. Follow me. Oh, now I need to say this. Wonder why I'm talking. Don't worry. Churches follow their pastors anyway. Can't help it. Born into us. We follow our lead. Y'all are the flock. Y'all are the sheep. Do I get an amen? He's the under shepherd. The head shepherd's up yonder, but he's the under shepherd. And sheep follow their shepherd.
Amen.
I've never seen it to fail. A congregation ultimately will end up being a lot like their leader, like their preacher.
That's right. Yes.
If a preacher loves the Word of God, give a few years and his congregation will love the Word of God.
Amen.
If the preacher is bitter and mean and ugly,
right,
always angry,
right,
that will impact and bleed over into his church.
That's
right. I said, preacher's meeting, it's been years because I don't get to go much now. Busy in revivals. Sitting at a table, fellowshipping after the at a break, that's going to have some more preaching. And I heard a man of God say this. And he's been there 15, 20 years. He said, I got the loudest mouth crowd at my church I've ever had. Said, their tongues are about 12 feet long. Said, it just beats off. Said, they gossip and they slander and they care. And while he is talking about them, he is doing the very same thing sitting at that table. And something down in me wanted to say, like priests, like people. Follow me, said the Apostle Paul.
Yes, sir, that's right.
And I've got to speed up, don't I?
No, sir.
Verse 8. Neither, now it's going to take up just another, I love to see the practicality of this man. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. Paul has a, and I don't know, this is probably too strong a word, a phobia, a fear that somebody will say he preaches for money. He does not want that statement made. Now, let me just clear the air right now. Paul did not preach for money. Somebody told me the other day, said that fellow's going into ministry, said I think it's the money. That problem will solve itself. Although I want to say this, God is good to his men. I've got no sad reports to bring.
That's right.
But Paul says, see, Paul did not want it to be said he ate in the different families' homes and always took in free meals, free lodging. Everything was provided. Now, I've got to say this. That's Paul's personal feeling. I'll need an amen if you think it's worthy. But he had every right to live off the funds of the church he pastored.
Amen.
Listen, this is scripture. The laborer is worthy of his hire.
Right.
Does anybody believe that?
Amen.
on your job, if you give them 40 hours, they ought to give you a salary. They ought to give you a paycheck. I predict you won't hang around there long if they don't. That's just the law of economics. Here's how Scripture proves the man of God is worthy of remuneration, of being cared for. He said, the ox, and he's quoting from Deuteronomy,
right.
The ox is out there plowing in the field. The ox that's out there, he's the one that broke up the ground, that ox. He's the one that helped plant the seed. He's the one that weeded the acreage. Said, when that grain gets in and you're using that ox to help harvest that grain, said, if that ox wants to get him a bite or two of grain, he wants to eat out in that field, three words, let him alone. Let him eat. Paul's got every right to be supported by his people.
Yes,
but he still says, I did not eat your bread for naught.
Yes,
I did not abuse that privilege.
Yes,
you said something last night at the table, my brother. And I hadn't thought, I thought of it since. Talked about a pastor or two he knew that owns, or the ministry owns, a jet plane.
Yeah.
Jet. Business did 550 miles an hour. About $750 every hour to operate that piece of machinery. And that's a wonderful way to travel. But if the pastor's living in the graveyard, way up yonder in the megabucks, and the people of the church are common, everyday working people, you may not agree with me, and we won't argue. That ain't right. That's not right. But Paul's got, he's got what they say, bigger fish to fry. Let's go. Said, I didn't eat any man's bread for naught, but I wrought. That's the word ergon. I worked. I labored. I energized myself. But I wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. He said, I got a job and I labored and I provided for my needs so nobody could say Paul's in it for the money. I just want to say something. Would anybody go here with me? I admire that man.
That's good. Yes, sir.
In fact, I'm going to say something. Preacher might get me after service. But he told me the other night, he said, I'm still working on my job. He said, I'm glad to work my job. Said my heart's to be a full-time pastor, and that will occur, I'm sure. But he said, I'm content. Said, I don't want to quit this job, take any more money from the church till we get some things done around here.
Yeah.
Till we get, and he named a project or two that's on his heart. Excuse me just a minute. I admire that kind of dedication.
Amen.
Yes, sir. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. I did not freeload. I don't want to be chargeable to any of you. Verse 9. Not because I don't have the power. That word power is exousia. It means authority. It's not just muscle power. He said, not that I don't have the authority, because I certainly did.
It's in Galatians 6.
Yep.
I think. We're working on it. Galatians 6. Paul says the man of God gives spiritual food. Give me two courtesy amens.
Amen.
I sure have tried to feed y'all this week.
Amen.
He gives spiritual food.
Yes.
And in return, the folks give material.
Yes.
Material. Material sustenance.
Yes.
Material. But does that make any sense?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir. That's right.
The men of God give out spiritually. You give back to them materially as you are. And you know what? And I've read stories. don't know that I know a preacher personally to whom it happened. Those old boys that used to ride in a horse and buggy, they'd go around preaching to where folks didn't have any money.
That's right.
But you know what? Somebody give them a chicken.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Somebody give them some squash out of the garden. Holler, hallelujah, that.
Yeah.
A little bit of
an
altar.
Yeah.
Yes,
sir.
You know,
amen.
That's giving out spiritually.
Yes.
They just getting blessings back in between. Yes. That's the way God has it worked.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
I love the way the preacher's done the love offering. I mean, every preacher doesn't do it that way, and that's fine. I've never told a preacher how to do it. I never will. Somebody told
Brother Bagwell about a meeting. I'll tell you one thing that's never discussed. I do not ask how big that church is, and I do not ask how much a love offering they can never, never, never have.
No.
But he has given opportunity every night for someone to participate if they chose to do so. I like that. No obligation, no pressure, no necessity. Just let God meet the needs. Could I put three words here? He always will. He always will. Never does he fail. I'm not sure how I've gravitated this direction, but you sure are courteous in the way you're receiving it. Not verse 9, because we don't have the authority, but to make ourselves an ensample, to make ourselves an ensample to you that many that follow us. Look at that word, ensample. Listen to it.
Tupos. T-U-P-O-S. What does tupos mean? It's a
tool and die kind of thing. It's a rubber stamp, and you got 50 envelopes to it means this, boom. And the impression of this is left on this. Paul said, I just want to leave a boom.
An example.
Yes.
So you'll see how it's supposed to be done to the
glory of God. One thing in the book of Ezekiel that comes up again and again, we're not going to Ezekiel, because Ezekiel says, I've gone, I've preached, I've tried to be faithful, and Ray, at least they'll know that a prophet of God was among us. God's man was around.
You ever been around the man of God?
You made a big impact on your life.
Yes, sir.
Sure. That's what Paul's saying. Verse number 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, and it's the same word, para angelo. We announced to you, we told you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now that sounds brash. If somebody's not going to work, don't let them eat. Listen, help. Churches are soft targets.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's happening. Somebody wander in for service, sit around somewhere, and they've got this real sad story to tell. And if the story is sad enough and evokes enough sympathy, I guarantee you that church will take them an offering. A writing the check out of the benevolence fund, and that's all right if those needs are legitimate.
Yes.
But if that's a racket,
right,
and there's in another church last week, right, and 1-2 weeks ago, that's as crooked can be.
That's good preaching. That's right. That's exactly right. Yes, sir.
If they're not willing to work,
yes, sir,
they ought not to be doing much either. As well. Blunt little fellow, isn't he? Paul. Announcement. The world does not owe you a living. God designed that we're to earn our keep, earn our living by the sweat of our brows and the labor of our hands. I can't believe what I'm preaching tonight. We're about to get into a work ethic kind of something. Hey, anybody want to go here with me? God worked.
Amen. He worked one day. He worked 2 days. If I remember right, He worked 6 days. He rested the seventh. He worked 6 days. And we've been enjoying His labor ever since. Amen. God worked.
We ought to be willing to work as well. There's a young lady sat in front of me and Debbie all week. Elderly lady. I don't know her name. I'd call it if I did. Tonight, she couldn't be here. She was able to arrange her work schedule. Every other service went in early and worked what? In order. And now tonight, she told us last night, she said, "I'm sorry. I won't be able to be here. I do have to work at her age."
What? She had plenty of stamina. Third time I've made such a statement tonight. I admire that. I admire that.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. When I got 65
years old, they told me I'm supposed to retire. I mean, the government even said you can get to Social Security. And I want to be careful what I'm saying. It's all to the glory of God. I don't want to retire.
Yes, sir.
Lord willing, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'll be boarding an airplane. I'm going to fly up the country a little bit. Get to preach, close out a meeting tomorrow night and Friday night. I'm going to preach Psalm 130, verse by verse, God will. Already got my booklets packed. Texted that preacher, told, I didn't want to tell them too early, told them what it was. I said, get them busy
tonight, preach Psalm 130. As long as God gives me the strength and I thank Him for how good He's been to me thus far, I want to be busy. I want to preach the Word of God. I want to set an example best I can. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
A lot of you feel the very same way. Thank God for America. Thank God for the work ethic our nation had in its infancy. Long live those days.
Amen.
If a man don't work, don't let him eat.
Amen.
Here's how it happened. I'm sure it is. Paul preached to the Thessalonians. The Lord's coming. Said, here's how it is. Said, he's going to descend in the air. Said, you're going to be a commotion. Shout, the voice of the archangel, be a trumpet blaring. And said, graveyards, the dead in Christ will rise first. Those vile bodies will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. They'll get a body like the glorious body of our. Oh, by the way, it's just their body coming out of the ground. Their spirit's already with Jesus. Talk about a reunion. Their spirit in that new body. And then anybody that's alive and remain will be called up to meet Him in the air. Does anybody believe that?
Amen.
All right, sir.
Paul said it could happen any time.
Yeah.
Paul didn't put any parameters up. Paul believed Jesus could, the imminency of the return of the Lord. Can I say something? I still believe it could happen.
Amen.
And so some of those boys got the idea, and I'm not trying to come down on them. Well, Jesus is coming. Wait, Paul's coming. He'd probably be here for a second. Listen, I still think I'm going to work tomorrow. I'm just going to take it off. I might hand out a few tracts. I'll probably do a little extra prayer. Why should I go to work? The Lord's on the way. But he is on could come, as I said, in the
right.
But you'll smile. I still plan on paying the rent. Making the car payment.
Right. That's right, brother.
that they adopted the idea they didn't need to work, and they quit work. And it is not harmonious in the church when that attitude does. I'll just say this. It seems like I'm just taking it. God don't like laziness, no.
Amen.
Listen to this. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. That's the word of God. Don't do it right. Give it your best. I'll tell you this. He certainly deserves our best.
Amen.
After dying on the cross.
Yes, right.
Listen to this. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all. Do all for the glory of God.
Yes.
Sounds like the Lord wants us to be.
Yes.
Diligent. They didn't. They'd show up at somebody's house wanting breakfast here, lunch there, supper over there, and was causing a little commotion. And Paul says, I know how to stop that right off.
Yeah.
If they don't work, quit taking.
Yeah.
It's good if we all work, because the church, I don't know how this is going to go over, needs some ties.
Amen.
Now all you little buggers quit work. You may well get that parking lot. But if we all labor, we labor faithfully, and we honor God with the first fruits of our income, God will take care.
Amen.
That's
exactly right.
I have no idea what verse I'm in. Yeah, 10. Favorite things, 10. 11. Y'all help me if I need a verse. Somebody over there. Verse 11. For we hear, we get. Now, how could they hear? There is evidence. Paul can't go back to the city. Paul has been run out. Paul has been abused. If Paul goes back, it likely will cause further suffering for the church. Paul wisely stays away. But that little boy, Timothy, he doesn't have vanity on his head. He's not marked to the group. And Paul sent him back. He went in there and preached to him. He went in there and he come back and give Paul a report. And so Paul can say, we hear that there's some which walk among you disorder. Now we're back where we started. That's that. Not in order, not in place. Too many chiefs. Not enough
heathens.
Too many bosses, not enough followers.
Amen.
We hear there's some that walk disorderly, working not at all, but are, watch this, busybodies.
Amen, brother. That's good. Yep.
Y'all didn't hear my word. Busybodies.
Amen.
Wonder what in the world that is. And he uses the preposition peri again. Picking up. And it uses the ergon. Watch. They won't work a job. Ergon, energy. They won't work a job. No, Jesus is coming. We're going to 3 prayer meetings today. Won't work. But their busybodies, hairy ergon. They won't work a job, but they'll work their noses into every church house. They'll pry into every family situation. They'll get in on it. They'll run their mouths about it. They'll whisper about it. And Paul says that crowd will forget it. That's not good for the church.
Amen.
That's good, brother.
Busybodies.
That's good.
Yes,
sir.
Did I say this? It's been enjoyable just watching y'all. Busybodies. Mind your own business.
Amen.
We Baptists have learned to take gossip and turn it into a spiritual discipline.
Yeah.
We got the news, we got the know, we know something somebody else doesn't know. And we don't say, boy, have I just got a juicy little tidbit. Never do that. That is gossip. You're talking so. Now, nobody else knows this, which means I do. I'm not privy to, and I'm only taking this. I'm only telling you so you'll make it a matter of prayer. I'm glad you get this from me, under, but I love your sister spirit. And I'm not going to let you know that. Right? Two words. Still gossip. Amen. I heard a preacher several years ago define gossip this way.
Yes.
Sharing private information with somebody who's not part of the problem or the solution.
That's good.
Brother Bagel, y'all can say amen. Keep your mouth shut. Busy bones.
Bless him.
That's right. Everywhere. Pride into others' business.
Yes, sir.
Such action does hurt the church.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It hinders.
Yes, sir.
With a fellowship of believers.
Yes, sir. It does.
What's my next verse? Verse 20. Thought I heard somebody say 15 tonight. Now, them that are such busybodies, we command and exhort. Now, you know the word command three times to make an announcement. But the word exhort, it means to put your arm around somebody, to walk with them, to help them, to encourage them, to entreat them. Both are beautiful and loving words. We command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their, see if I get an amen, eat their own bread.
Amen.
Yeah.
Eat their own bread. Yeah. Quietly. Eat their own bread. The word for quietness, it's an interesting word. I'll share what it does. It takes the word for chair or seat, hedros, and then it takes the verb echo, which means to hold on to. And this is literally what it means. Hold on to a job. Keep your job. Work at your job. But the rest of the time, quit running around everywhere else. Sit down and be quiet.
Amen.
That's right.
That's as graphic, that's as much a metaphor, that's as clear as it can be put.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be something if in church we love one another, pray for one another, uplifted the man of God, sung the praises of our Savior, didn't gossip, didn't slander, didn't criticize each other, didn't mess around in one another's business, just held each other up to the boy, what a revival at church.
That's good.
11. With quietness, let them work and eat their own bread. Verse 13. But ye brethren, all the way through, he's talking to Christians out of the same room, be not weary in well doing. Be not weary in well doing. These are commands. These are imperatives. Be not weary. Well, that is in well doing. Now, in Galatians 6:9, Paul uses these same words. Listen to Galatians 6:9. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Right.
Same word. Be not weary in well-doing. Listen, Brother Bagel. If he said don't be weary in well-doing, it is possible to be weary in well-doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had that argument with him. But you can't get tired. You can't be weary doing good things. But you most assuredly can.
Yes, amen. Yes, that's right.
John chapter 4, our Lord sat down at that well, and the Holy Ghost said he was weary. He was exhausted.
Yes.
He was tired from telling how far he'd walked that day. Disciples were going to town to get food. Jesus is waiting on the woman to come. She'll get saved. But our Lord's body was absolutely given out.
Yes.
Don't be weary in well-doing. You cannot. You can get exhausted doing a good thing.
Yes. Right? Yes, sir.
Listen to Jesus with his disciples. Come ye apart and rest a while. That statement is that, boys, we're going to come apart and rest. That statement was made during a very busy season. Since they hadn't even had time to take a meal. They were laboring. They were ministering. Come ye apart and rest a while. Oh, Vance Havner, North Carolina preacher, said this. He said, if you don't come ye apart and rest a while, you'll just come ye apart. Be not weary in well-doing. Preacher, these words mean so much more than that. So much more than that. By the way, you can still serve God, not get weary, and go to Sunday school every Sunday.
Amen.
Yes,
sir.
Yes,
yes,
ma'am.
You still, without becoming weary, be faithful to Sunday morning church and Sunday night as well.
Amen.
Sir.
Yes,
sir.
This is not a discouragement to be faithful for God.
Right.
Be not weary. But it uses the little word kakos, K-A-K-O-S. And that is a strange word to be translated. Be not weary. It's right. It's accurate. I'm not doubting that. But kakos means, sometimes it can mean bad. Mm-hmm. Evil. But most often it means good for nothing.
Yep.
Good for nothing. You know what? If we're not careful, if we don't try to stay close to God, in communion with God, on fire with God, you can start going to church and it can end up meaning just about nothing to you.
Amen.
Amen. You can sing in the choir, be some mad at somebody in the church, or so upset at something they did or didn't do, that it won't get. Not only will you not get a blessing, not only will you not enjoy it, it'll make you so mad you can't see straight. It will cause good for nothingness in your life.
Amen.
You
can't
just see it, you'll know the truth.
That's right.
That's
it, man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it can happen every day. Be not weary. Be not weary. I guess he could come here a long-winded preacher. I didn't know I was long-winded until the other night. A young lady named Belinda didn't she did condition it with some very encouraging words. Some long-winded preacher going on, you know, he's only got one more verse to cover again. He belabors the point. And I guess you could get weary right there. I guess you could think about the dishes you hadn't done. I guess you could think about the little errand you didn't get in. I guess you could, we forget Walmart pharmacy. And I guess you get so tore up, it gets good for nothing. While you're sitting here, Paul said, don't be wary anyway.
That's right.
Keep a good attitude. Stay positive. Be optimistic.
Amen.
Be not weary. Preacher, I will come back next year just to listen to him talk. I heard some interesting words. Be not weary in well-doing. Now that well-doing is really something. Give it a few seconds. It uses the word kalos, okay? Poeo and kalos, okay? Poeo, something you do, something you practice. Kalos means something excellent, something worthy, but here's what I want you to, something beautiful. When that young man called us last night after the service, called us down here, wanted to pray for that young lady who's in the hospital, whose life support system is able soon now, we've learned, be disconnected. And we gathered around. There was some tears. There was kindness. There was love. There was compassion. Technically, they've been coming but had not joined the church. And on this very night, I'm going to tell you something. In God's eyes, I hope I get an amen. That was absolutely beautiful.
Amen.
That's well doing right there.
Amen.
When you love somebody, when you're praying for somebody, when
yeah.
Just got the young man.
Yeah.
2,295 times. I'm proud of y'all for that.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Yesterday alone, and he never tell you. 126 chapters.
Well,
of second, that boy is a walking Second Thessalonians. Now, in all fairness, that includes hearing it as well as reading.
Yep.
But I'd like to say something. Poeo, well-doing, poeo. Poeo gives us the word poet. Poeo means to do, to make,
yeah,
or poem. Poeo. In God's eyes, anybody to read 126 chapters in one day of a little three-chapter epistle, in God's eyes, that is absolute. He's a poet, and that was a poem, and it is excellent. It is beautiful in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
We don't all go out and be spiritual poets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me finish. Where am I?
14.
I got two verses up there. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, all I'm going to give you, obey. The word here is akouo. A-K-O-U-O. We get the word acoustics from akouo. Acoustics. How they sound. It's got resonance. This word obey is, it's huper akouo. It means to hear, to listen, but it uses a preposition that means underneath. I go to church, he backs the pulpit, that's one reason we lift our pulpits a little. And I just sit here underneath. Cut my ears. And say, man of God, I can't see all y'all, so say amen. Man of God, open my Bible and fill me with the word.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Underneath.
Amen.
Listening to what God has. If any man obey not the word. If any man obey not our word by this epistle. By the way, that's proof we're dealing with an epistle. Epistole. Epistole, the epistle, that's how it's translated, and we say it means a letter. It does mean a letter, but listen to me. It's more than a letter. Epistole, the word stole or stelo, it means, we say it means to send a letter, and it does mean to send, but it means to send in this sense. It's got an official connotation. It's got some weight to it. It's deputized. It means to go over there, send it over there, hope I'll get an amen, and straighten them out.
Amen.
Right. Paul's not just while they get it around. Paul's not just him hawing either. Paul's writing this to help that church straighten up and make what God wants them to be.
Yes, sir. Thank
you. And there's some of them that won't sit down, behave themselves, and listen. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. Mark that man. Hey, the word note, it ties into John's word for miracles. It's Simeon. It means on your iPad or your phone, if you're somewhere and you want somebody to have a map where you are, you can drop a flag. Y'all know what I mean? You can press this little red flag. You go back there. I don't know a thing about computers, but I believe y'all are dumber than me. Still dropping a flag. It's the same idea. Paul said, if somebody don't obey the word of God, if somebody's not acting right, they're not sitting drinking in the word of flag, mark, boot, and be aware they're dangerous. They can hurt you. They can hinder you. Thank God for everybody's living right, and watch out for everybody that ain't living.
Amen. That's right.
Danger.
Amen.
Warning involved here. Mark that name. Know that name. Watch this. Am I reading this right? Have no company with him.
Amen. That's right,
buddy. The word company, the heart of it is mingle. Don't mingle with him.
Yes.
Amen.
It's good.
Amen.
Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
No, that's that better than no trail. That's not what it is at all. Why do I not want to mingle with him? Listen to Proverbs, Solomon wrote it. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go. Don't hang around. Lest thou learn his ways.
Yeah, right.
And it become a snare to your soul.
Yeah. Right.
Listen up. You don't mingle with them because you don't want none of that to rub off on them.
Amen.
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 Right.
Three words. Gossip is contagious.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
That didn't work too well. Three more words. Grumbling is contagious.
Yes.
That's
absolutely ruining.
Yes, sir.
The sweet life of a church.
That's
have
right.
No company with them. That he may be sure. Not that you can kick them out. Not that you can excommunicate them or pronounce them to hell. No, that he may be ashamed. That he, the word there means turned in on himself. That he might be embarrassed. That he might see that he's done wrong. That he might see that the church is not good. Hey, if you're right with, if the Holy Ghost is living in your heart and you hear out there a good admonition, a good warning, somebody help me, just might straighten you up.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is in there. We saw last night he restrains us
yes.
from doing wrong. I'm in verse 15. Don't count him as an enemy. Don't count him as an enemy.
Yes, sir.
Your brothers and your sisters didn't always do right. I mean, amen.
That's
here,
right.
But they're still your brothers and your
sisters.
Right.
That's good, brother. Yes, sir.
They're still in the family.
Yes.
Might walk disorderly. Might not obey. But don't count them as an enemy. Admonish them. Admonish them. Boy, I've got to get through. Admonish them. As a brother.
Yes, yes,
I guess I need to deal with that word, admonish. Yeah. It's euthetic. It gives us, it's a form of counseling that's practiced today. Euthetic counseling, what does it mean? Tip them out. Means to place or to put and noose. Euthetic, that's the word for mind. It means to put them in mind of certain things. To put them in mind. And preacher, you're within your rights to do this as a leader of a church. Sir, you've done wrong. You said thank you. You've been played. You've acted in a way you shouldn't. I love you. We're not going to treat you as an enemy. You're one of our brethren in Christ. But we want you to do right. We're going to pray that you'll straighten up and get close to God. We love you with all of our heart. We miss you down in the church. Can you get an amen? That's a better way to do it than running down.
Amen.
Tearing the strands into pieces.
Yes, yes.
Boy, I don't know what we've been through tonight. One issue after another, just like he's shelling corn, like he's popping butter beans, this man of God is dead with the situations in that church.
Yes,
and I like this announcement. The Word of God's capable of dealing with any situation.
Yes, that's right. That's it.
Amen.
Exactly.
These Thessalonians love Paul. They're going to follow his direction. And they're going to do what the man of God, they're going to sit down and listen and learn to the glory of our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
I'm through with my sermon. I'm just wondering how quick I can go to work tonight. I have to read those verses. I sure have enjoyed five services in 2 Thessalonians. I sort of feel like we've had a thrashing tonight. From our Heavenly Father.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
But it is beneficial.
Yes, sir.
It's right.
For our hearts.
Yes, sir.
And our selfless faith.
Amen. That's good.
Thank you for going forward. The song leader is in the place. Our musician is coming. She will play something appropriate. And I realize we have visitors, and don't misunderstand me, we are honored you're here. But while our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, I'd like to ask some people who care, and that'll be a large percentage. Somebody come pray for Valley View Baptist Church. Lord, keep us sweet. Lord, don't let any busybodies infiltrate our lives. Lord, keep us in unity as hungry students of Thy Word. Lord, bless my preacher, his family. The altar's pretty much full. There's still some of it. And you can stand. If you can't kneel, just stand. You talk to the Lord. Use a pew or two nearby. Be fine. Seriously, could be somebody here, and I don't mean it in a facetious, you've loved on your job, you haven't done your best for your employer, you figure they owe it to you, ask God to give you a healthy attitude.
Amen.
And your work. To represent your Lord and do your best, make your company successful. Preacher, let him give me Christmas off. No, but if they're faithful in that cell, that ought to mean something.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Might be somebody, not that there is, you're in that gossip category.
Right.
That busybody is.
Yes.
Ask God to help you do it. Ask the Lord to teach you. Be kind, tender-hearted, more forgiving, like Christ forgave you. You may know somebody to say that needs a word of admonishment. Pray about it. Don't go to that smart ass. Ask God to give you wisdom and love.
That's right.
Then go tell them how much you miss them.
Amen.
What a blessing they meant to you.
Yes.
Ask them to come to church with you in your home.